1 Thessalonians 5:11, and then Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. And so we're going to start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. Out of reverence for God's Word, I want to invite you to stand. And I'm going to ask you to read along with me as we read these verses from the screen. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We'll talk about what those words are as we go through this. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And then Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that, Lord, in Christ, Lord, we are freed from the selfish desires. Lord, not that they're removed completely, Lord, but that we're free to no longer just serve ourselves. But Lord, that you've called us to a greater purpose, Lord, to think about other people, Lord, to serve others, Lord, and as we talk about today, to encourage others. And Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, there are some, Lord, who have the spiritual gift of encouragement, and I thank you for those dear brothers and sisters in Christ. But Lord, even if we don't have that as our spiritual gift, Lord, we're not free to not encourage others. So this morning, Lord, help us, show us, Lord, how we can be more encouraging to those, Lord, who are trying to live out this faith just as we are. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So we're going to look at these passages, individually at these verses, and then also just kind of a big picture of the encouragement that we are to bring to one another. I know I'm kind of put you on the spot here. Can you think of a time in your Christian walk when another brother or sister in Christ poured spiritual encouragement into you when you desperately needed it? Can anybody think of a time, a specific situation when, man, you were down in your faith or something was going on and a brother or sister in Christ just spiritually encouraged you when you truly needed it? Anybody think of a time? Anybody willing to share just a quick snippet, quick testimony? Alice, you are?
I was all of 16 years old when I dropped out of school and got married. That lasted 53 years. But beside the point, I had two Christian couples that were dear friends of ours that encouraged me to go back to high school, get an education, and, you know, do the right thing. And I'm so glad that I had friends that showed me to do that.
Amen. Amen. And my guess is for anyone who has been a Christian for any number of years that you can think of a specific someone. A lot of times we call them Barnabases, and Barnabas was a co-worker with Paul and had the gift of encouragement and was a great encourager to Paul. I know that we have Barnabases within our church. I mentioned it while praying, but there are some people, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we talked about last week, that God gifts us in certain ways. Some people have the gift of encouragement, and God gifts you that with a purpose of serving others with it. And I know that we have folks in this church who have the gift of encouragement, because I have been on the receiving end of that encouragement as the pastor. Folks who say, who just encourage me not to give up, encourage me to continue preaching the word faithfully, encourage me when we don't always see the good that's going on, the work that the Holy Spirit's doing. Just give me words of encouragement, and I'm thankful for them, because sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we don't always see what God is doing, and we begin to lose heart. And other brothers and sisters in Christ come along and build us back up, bring courage back into us to continue to serve God, to continue to live out this faith. This morning, I want us to see a few ways specifically that God calls us to be encouraging, but also kind of the what leads up to them needing encouragement as well. We'll see that. And so we're going to begin with 1 Thessalonians 4:18. This is a passage that is often read at funerals, especially at the graveside ceremony. It's a passage I almost always read. And when you go back up and you read from verses 13 to 18, what you're going to see is there was a group of people who were grieving. They're grieving the loss of loved ones. And Paul says in there that you don't need to grieve as those who have no hope, which means you are to grieve with hope. Because there's a time coming when Jesus is coming back and the dead in Christ will be raised up, and then all of those who follow Jesus who are still living will be called up together with them. And so there's this hope that we have in death that we will see our brothers and sisters in Christ again. And so that brings us hope. And so the first way that we can encourage each other is in grief. Encourage each other in grief because of the hope of our future. Folks who are going through a grieving time need encouragement. They need to know that there is a future that awaits us, that awaits all believers. And so this is, again, when I say that a lot of these commands are given to the church to be used within the body of Christ, it is hard to encourage someone who is an unbeliever with these words to say, oh, it's okay, you'll see them again. One, you may not know if the person died as a believer or not. But you also, if that person is an unbeliever, it's hard to encourage them with these words to say, it's okay, you'll see them, they're going to heaven, you'll see them again, because if they're not a Christian, you can't give them false confidence that they're going to see them again. Now, we can give them encouragement in such a way that, look, you can know for sure that you'll see them again. God gives us hope that we can see our loved ones again if they've gone on to heaven, and that's by trusting Jesus. But we also, many of us, go through trying times. I know of many folks in here who have lost a husband or a husband or wife, who have lost children or grandchildren, and they grieve that loss. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to encourage them. To be discouraged is to lose courage, right? It's to lose courage. You don't want to do things anymore. You kind of lose your will to fight and to go on. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to come alongside them and to build them back up, to pour courage into them, to encourage them. And one of the ways that we can do that is by pointing them to the hope that we have of our future. So we can encourage people who are going through grieving times, brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through grieving times, because of the hope of the future that we have in Jesus Christ. One of the famous verses about courage is when God speaks to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. If you go back, I'll flip there and read it. And you're free to flip there as well if you want. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so, in there, one of the things that I was asked to do something at a memorial service and to speak about courage that we can have in the face of grieving. And I was drawn to that verse. And one of the things that I came to realize is Joshua was likely grieving at this time. Joshua was likely grieving at this time when God speaks this, "Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous?" Because Joshua had just lost his mentor, the one who had grown him in the faith. He had just lost Moses. Moses was likely a father figure to him, because Joshua was one of the only people who was above the age of 20 at the time where they rebelled and didn't go into the promised land. They sent the spies in. 10 of them say, "No, we can't take it. We're too small. They're too big." And then Joshua and Caleb are the only two who went and said, "We can do this." And those were the only two who were over the age of 20 of the whole Israelite population who got to enter the promised land. And so Joshua spent a lot of time with Moses, because Joshua's father, if he wasn't already dead, would have died because he didn't get to go into the promised land. And so Moses has just died, and Joshua's called to lead the people. I'm going to guess that Joshua is not just scared about the job that he's given. Okay, you got to replace Moses. I'm going to guess he's also grieving the loss of this dear friend, this dear follower, this dear mentor in the faith. And so he didn't just need courage to do the job. I think he also needed courage to stand and say, in the midst of your grief, you still got to go on. And the hope that he had, the source of this comfort, the source of this courage, was not just to go and do this on your own. He was given a hope of a future. The future was, for I'm with you wherever you go. And the same thing needs to happen. We need to encourage people with the hope of our future, that God is with us, but also that God has a future in store for us, for all of his children, that one day we'll be with him in heaven. And so these are ways that we can encourage each other. We can encourage each other in grief because of the hope of our future in Jesus Christ. If you flip over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read this verse, but it's verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." I want to go back real quick and read verses 9 and 10. Paul in here is speaking about the coming day of the Lord. And he says in verses 9 and 10, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, that we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Previous to that, Paul is talking about that there are people who live in darkness and they act in such a way. And then there are people who are children of the light, who have the gift of God's gift of salvation, who God has called as children, and who should be living as they are children of light. And that there should be a difference between them and the ones who are living in darkness. And then he says, we are not destined. God has not destined us for wrath, but he has destined us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's the good news, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. And so in here, this I think is the point that Paul wants to make, is we need to encourage each other to stand firm in the faith because of what Christ has done for us. We need to encourage each other to stand firm in the faith because of what Christ has done for us. We need to encourage each one another to live out the faith. On a daily basis, it is hard to be a Christian in this world. We'll talk about this more with the second point, but it's not always easy to be a Christian. One of the things that we started doing this year is I get together with some guys on Friday morning, I get together with some guys on Sunday night, and we talk about some of the struggles that we face. We talk about some of the struggles with sin temptations that we face. And we encourage each other, we try to encourage each other to be men of God. To be godly men, to be godly husbands, to be godly fathers. Sometimes our Sunday night group, I think it feels like a support group for fathers, where we say, "Mandy, this is what's going on this week." And someone else says, "Well, this is what's going on this week with my kids." And we want to encourage each other to be patient with them, to love them, and just to share, just to share that struggle, but also to encourage them to press on and be godly men in that relationship with their sons, with their spouses, with whatever's going on. And so we want to encourage each other to stand firm in the faith. And why? Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. This is what Paul says right before that. But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. We want to consider that what Jesus has done for us in dying on the cross, that he paid the price for our sins, that Jesus took the wrath that was due us, and so therefore we can say we're not destined for wrath because Jesus took our wrath upon himself. But instead, we've been destined. God has called us to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for us, who paid the price for our sins so that we could live with him. And so we want to encourage one another to stand firm in the faith because Jesus paid the price for you not to continue to live in sin, but to live in righteousness. We talked about this last week, that you've been given freedom in Jesus Christ. And you can use that freedom in one of two ways. You can say, well, because I've been forgiven of my sins, I can do whatever I want. And you can use that freedom to serve yourself. Or you can live in the way that the Christian life is intended, which is you've been given freedom not to serve yourself, but to serve Christ and to serve others. And so we want to encourage one another to continue to stand firm in the faith, no matter how difficult it gets, Because Jesus paid the price for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. You've received His salvation. You've received the forgiveness of sin. So walk in a way that's worthy of that calling. Walk in light of who you are as children of God. This is one of the ways that we can encourage each other. Finally, if you flip over to Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, I'll read these verses again. It says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet to one another, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." In verses 24 and 25, I think that one of the ways we encourage each other is shown in verse 24. It's one of the one another statements in the New Testament. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works or good deeds." Let's consider how we can stir up one another, how we can motivate one another to do love and good deeds. That's one of the ways that we can encourage each other. But it's interesting how he goes into verse 25. He says, "Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some." And so what was happening in the early church, and one of the things that the writer of Hebrews addresses, is being a Christian in the first century was difficult, and it was not just difficult, it was dangerous. It was dangerous to be a Christian and to live out your faith and to profess Christ as Lord and Savior, because Christians were persecuted. Not just made fun of, not just ridiculed, not just mocked, but many times they were arrested, imprisoned, and killed. These people lived at a time when there was some evil Roman Caesars. One of them was Nero, and one of them was Domitian. And one of the things that they did, I forget if it was Nero or Domitian, one of the things that they did was, as they arrested Christians, one of them had a garden that they liked to go out and enjoy in the evening time. But guess what? It got dark and they didn't have electricity. So they needed torches. And they would actually take Christian believers, and they would set them up on posts, and they would light them on fire to light the path so that they could enjoy the garden. So when we think about this, don't think about it from a Western worldview, like, well, if I go to a church, people are going to make fun of me. When he's writing this, there were people who were scared to meet together for fear of their life. And so they didn't want to go to the house church to get together because it was dangerous for them to do so. And so Paul writes and says, don't neglect to meet together. Don't neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. But then he uses the word but. So he's using a contrast here. He's going to contrast not meeting together. And he says, but encourage one another. And I think it's interesting that that's the contrast that's made. Don't neglect to meet together, but encourage one another. I want you to understand that the reason we gather as in a worship setting, the reason we gather as small groups and Sunday school classes and all the other ways, is not just so that we can be puffed up in our knowledge, not just so that we can learn more and know more. It's not all about us. Coming to church isn't just so that you can get your fill and that you can feel good and that you can go on with the rest of your week. Now, that happens sometimes, and that's good. I think it's good to learn and grow in our faith. But the Christian faith, gathering for small group, gathering in Sunday school classes, gathering in worship, isn't just so that you can grow more and know more and be encouraged. Paul makes it clear, the writer of Hebrews makes it clear here, that meeting together is a way of encouraging one another. So, gathering together encourages each other. So when we come together, whether it's small group, Sunday school class, anytime that we come together, in potluck, in church service, anytime we come together, it is one of the express purposes of it is to encourage each other. Which means that anytime you come to church, you should be an encouragement to someone else. This last point from this passage, encourage each other by gathering together. Encourage each other by gathering together because we live in difficult days. We encourage each other when we get together. The fact that you come on Sunday morning and gather for worship and gather to hear the preaching of the Word encourages me. Anytime that you're here, it's an encouragement to me. And it doesn't matter the size. Sometimes I get caught up in numbers and I get discouraged with the size of the thing. But anytime that you're here and you're gathering together, anytime I'm get together with my small group and people show up, guess what? I'm encouraged by the mere fact that they are there. That they thought it was important to get together. That encourages me. It encourages me when you serve and do things. Not just because I'm the pastor and it means I don't have to do it, but because I'm a brother and sister in Christ, and it's encouraging when people are doing things for the Lord. So when you come together, it's not just about you being encouraged through the Word. Not just Jesus encouraging your soul that you can go out, but it's about encouraging one another. Being an encouragement to one another. And we can do that just by our mere presence, but we also do that through our words. It's good to see you today. I'm glad you're here. Sometimes people don't want to come. And they come anyway, and they get encouraged by someone else who says something. We encourage each other when we come together and we share testimonies. When we share stories of what God is doing in our lives or has done in our lives, that brings encouragement. And you don't get that if you don't get together. And so when we come together, and one of the ways that we come together is, for some of us, is on a church softball team. There's lots of discouraging days on our church softball team. But the brotherhood that I have with the guys on the team and with the young lady on our team, is that encourages me. You know, when I see people strike out and throw a temper tantrum and later come back and say, I'm sorry. and others. That they say, like, I'm sorry for the way. Man, that encourages me to see people repent publicly. When at the end of the game, we gather at third base and say, good try, guys. Let's get together again next week. Man, that's encouraging to me. All right. When I see someone run slower than me, I'm encouraged that if a bear comes on that field, I'm not going to be the one that's eaten. That's encouraging to me.
That's a great example.
And so when we come together, whether it's a potluck or anything, it's about encouraging one another. And the writer here goes on, and he says specifically, he says, verse 25, there we go. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And he says, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is the day? The day when Jesus Christ is coming back. Here's the thing, is we're getting closer and closer to that day. And you think, well, the closer that day gets, well, we should be more excited. But the closer that day gets, the more and more evil prevails. The more and more Christians will be persecuted. The more and more you'll suffer for living out the faith. And that's why it's important that we get together. Because here's the thing is, when we get together in church, when we get together in our small groups, when we get together in any setting, part of that, again, one of the reasons I mention our small groups is because that's when you get to really share what's going on in your life. And you get to go and say, man, I've had a difficult week at work. You don't know some of the people I have to work with. Maybe I was sharing my faith with somebody at work this week, and man, they gave me a hard time. And then your brothers and sisters in Christ can come and say, hey man, that's awesome that you shared your faith, man. That is great. God is going to bless that. Just keep doing it. Keep living out your faith. And then you hear someone else who's going through some struggle, and you hear them share what's going on and how God is working in that, and you can encourage them with words and say, look, I know it's hard. It's hard to be a Christian sometimes, but keep doing it. Because the days we're living in are difficult. We need that encouragement from one another. It's why God calls us to gather together. And so I want to encourage you in a couple of ways this morning. One is, don't neglect meeting together. You may say, I can't think back on any sermon where I just walked out of it and was like, wow, man, I'm just so built up. But you look back and you say, over a period of time, all of those sermons or all of those Bible studies or all of those getting together with men or women, progressively the work that they've done in building you up and encouraging you and strengthening your faith. You know, probably, I've heard this as a good example. Someone said, how many of you can think back on your childhood or at any point in your life and think back and say, man, that meal is what really nourished me and grew me. And man, I think back to that one specific meal when, man, it just wowed me and my taste buds exploded and it satisfied me for weeks and weeks. Probably you don't think of very many meals like that. But one at a time, those meals nourished you. They strengthened you. They gave you the energy you needed to go out and perform that day's work or the next day's work. It wasn't one meal that did the trick, but it was all the meals together. And that's what happens when we get together. You may not have this big wow moment every single time you come in, but over time, God is doing a work in your life when you get together, when you meet with other brothers and sisters in Christ, when you study the Word, when you break bread together, when you enjoy each other's company, and when you pour encouragement into one another. We're getting closer and closer to when Jesus comes back. All right? I don't say that because I know when He's coming back. I just know that every day that goes by, we're one step closer when He's coming back. One day closer. And today, we're one day closer when Jesus returns, and the days are getting more difficult. And so we need each other. And so this week, I want to challenge you to find a way to encourage one another. And I told you I was going to give you a specific way that you could be encouraging to some of your church family. And this is that way. I want to really challenge you to do this. Is next Saturday, we're sending a mission team to go down to Cincinnati. I'm bummed I don't get to go this year. We have a baby coming, and that's more important. All right? It's more important that I'm there, available, because who knows when our baby girl's coming. But Mr. Rich is leading a team. I'm thankful for his leadership with his team. He's taking his wife, Martha. We have Melissa Losey going with Christine. We have Taylor and Emily Rothman. We have Olivia and Emma McClellan. Am I missing anybody? Oh, yeah. Rachel DuFord and Zach. So we're sending 10 people to go down to Cincinnati. And this is the way I want to challenge you. Is find some time this week before Saturday, and if you need a list of names, we'll get it to you, and write a note to them. You can just be something simple to say, hey, I'm praying for you this week, or hey, here's a memory verse. I hope this is encouraging to you. Write a letter. That's only 10 letters. You can write more than one per person if you want, but write 10 small notes this week. Get them to me or to Rich sometime before they leave Saturday morning at 10 a.m. You can come out Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and pray with them before they leave. That would be a way that you can encourage them. And so that's my challenge to you this week, is to write a note to this mission team. Because what they're doing is not easy. They're not ministering in an easy area. It gets intimidating. It gets draining. They're going to be drained emotionally and spiritually as they pour out themselves in this community. And so I encourage you to do that. That's my encouragement to you, is to pour encouragement into them by writing notes. Notes of encouragement. And to have them here Saturday before 10 a.m. when they leave. That's one way that you can do that. Now, you can think of lots of other ways that you can put this into practice. For some of you, you just may, before you leave today, you may need to go over and give a word of encouragement to someone. You appreciated the way they danced, or the way that they sang, or you just enjoyed seeing them here this morning. But encourage each other. That's what we're called to do. We're commanded to do as Christians, is to encourage each other through our grief, because of what Jesus has done for us, and because the days are difficult. We need to be encouraged to live out this faith. So, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And I don't know how God is speaking to you today, but the important thing is not that we hear the word, but that we do what it says. It starts with hearing it, but if we don't do what it says, it's all for naught. And so I'm going to encourage you to respond. Spend time in prayer, however God is speaking to you. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. And then after the hymn of invitation, we're going to have a special time of praying for our mission team. So let's, ladies, if you'll come up, I'll pray. And then we'll begin with our hymn of invitation. Please stand. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that for those that you have gifted with the gift of encouragement. But Lord, even if we don't have that gift, you have commanded us to be encouraging to one another. And so, Father, I pray that Clinton Baptist Church would be a place through our worship services, through our Sunday schools, through our small groups, through all of those times that we get together, Lord, where we leave feeling better because we've been encouraged by someone else. So that starts with each of us individually being encouraging to one another. And so, Father, as we encourage one another, encourage us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage that we need to live this faith out in these difficult days. And Father, if there is anyone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, who does not know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, and Lord, was risen to life, raised back to life, Lord, so that we could live with you and for you because of what you've done for us, Lord, I pray that today, Lord, if you're speaking to them, they would respond to you. But for those of us here who are Christians, Lord, you've told us what to do. Lord, now help us to respond to you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.